And welcome back to The Fitness Solution. Now, true to my word, I emailed, gather your thoughts, Adam. So I realized that I'm very, very bad at getting this podcast done pretty much for the last year. And therefore, in order to try and create a bit more consistency and just be very, very, a bit more productive with it, I emailed my email list. And if you're not on my email list, then you should be, because it's kind of where I go to inspire the kind of themes and stuff that I talk about. And in order to go onto my email list, then you just need to go on to www.thegymstarter.com. And then you'll see a little banner at the top that says get your free fitness goodies. So if you click on there, you can then scroll down and get your free fitness goodies, and you'll subscribe to my email list. So not only will you then get emails from me, you'll get all of the good fitness goodies I send out as it is, but you also get the opportunity, which I'm trying to tell you about in a very convoluted way, the opportunity to ask me questions to then answer on the podcast, which is what I was trying to get to. So because I'm very, very inconsistent with doing this at the moment, I decided, right, once a month at the very least, I'm going to commit to getting a podcast recorded and I'm going to make it a Q&A format. So being a personal trainer, an online personal trainer especially, is draining to say the least. Not because of the people I work with, but because of how much bloody marketing you have to do and how much content creation goes into it. Like, for instance, right now, you may have seen, again, if you're on my email list or follow me on social media at The Gym Starter, you may have seen that at the moment I'm recording and building and doing a 30-day meditation course completely for free for whoever wants to go onto it. It's called The Daily Stillness. And if you want to get onto that, then I'm going to put the link in the show notes. Like, it's draining, like writing and recording and editing. And like, I don't have a team. It's just me. Like, you know, every social media post you see, every podcast I record, every video on YouTube, every blog, and I've written four of those in the last month. Like, my brain is just bazing with content at the moment. And so I'm not even sure that's an official word, but let's make it an official word. You know, it's draining. And so when lots of other things ramp up, other things drop off, and the podcast is something that dropped off. But I am now here with you. And true to my word, I asked for questions and I received two. Well, sort of, they're linked. And these both come from a wonderful listener, Amanda. And her questions were, I think this is a big reason why I put off doing this recording too, because they're big questions. Her question is, my question for Fitness Solution is, how and why does self-talk, both positive and negative, affect performance outcomes? And then the next question is, how do they affect sustainability of positive behaviors? Ooh, right, take a big deep breath in. So how and why does self-talk, both positive and negative, affect performance outcomes? I think with this first, I need to define what performance outcomes are. I think this probably relates to, in my life, I'd like to relate this to directly performance outcomes in the gym, because it all feeds in. But it could be performance outcomes in business. It could be performance outcomes in relationships. It could be anything. But let's just, I am a personal trainer, so let's relate it to fitness, okay? I know in my life that whenever I jump on a treadmill or whenever I go for a run and I'm trying to get 5K done, the thing that stops me from being able to get the 5K done isn't my body, it's my brain. Now the body is always stronger than the brain whenever it comes to running, whenever it comes to lifting. Most of the time, I'd say it's probably a little less true in lifting, but the body is always stronger than the brain. And now what happens when I go for a run and I wildly fail, which happens fairly regularly, to even get a 5K done, especially these days. It was a bit easier in my refereeing days, but now, which I'm trying to restart again, actually. But anyway, but now I find it very, very difficult to do. And the reason for that is my brain starts telling me to give up. And a big reason for that comes down to my self-talk. Now, a lot of it is also my cardiovascular system. But if we take the concept of self-talk specifically, what happens when I get on a treadmill? My fastest ever 5K is about 22 minutes, okay? It's pretty quick. It's pretty drastic. And I used to be able to run a 5K in 30 minutes very, very comfortably. And now what happens when I get on a treadmill? I can't do that. And so my brain starts playing tricks with me. And it starts telling me that, what's the point? You're a failure. You don't have the pace anymore. You don't have the ability anymore. You may as well just give up. And then, stupidly, I respond with going faster, which then means that I obviously can't sustain it, which then means that I give up quicker, right? But that all comes from the negative self-talk. That all comes from the fact that, and really the truth of it comes from the fact that I'm comparing myself to my former self. Now, I'm not setting the world alight when I tell you comparison is a thief of joy. And that is true of not just comparison to others, but also comparison to yourself. Many people say the only person you need to compare yourself to is you. But like, that's just not true. That's not a useful policy. My best example for this is women who have had children. All right. The best comparison, if you're comparing yourself postnatal to prenatal, you're going to start creating a feedback loop of negative self-talk. And the reason you're going to start creating that feedback loop of negative self-talk is because you're a completely different human being now. You're probably a couple of years older, maybe a year older, at least 9 months older, at least, I suppose. Your body has gone through something so incredibly miraculous that comparing yourself to before that moment, it's not fair. It's not fair on yourself. It's not fair on yourself because you deserve better, because you've done something incredible and you have changed. You're now a mother rather than someone who's trying to get pregnant. Like, it's a big difference, right? It's a massive, massive difference. And so therefore, I don't think comparison in any way is useful. And it affects your performance outcomes because you subconsciously beat yourself up because of the condition that you're now in compared to where you were in. Or the comparison, which is what drives the negative self-talk. The comparison, which is what drives the negative self-talk. Oh, I just had a brain fart. The comparison, which is what drives the negative self-talk, affects your performance because it tells you that you're not good enough, and then you're never going to actually be able to complete anything. You're never actually going to be able to. You're never actually going to be able to perform at the level you feel like you should be performing right now, because you're going to have no idea of what that level is for you in the present moment, because you're either offloading your ability in comparison to someone else, or you're internalizing it in comparison to yourself in the past. So that's how I genuinely think it affects negative self-talk affects performance outcomes. It can send you just into that spin of not being good enough. And it all stems from comparison, I think. Whether that's somebody telling you you're not good enough, they're comparing you to either them, or they're comparing you to somebody else. And so an awful lot of negative self-talk comes from comparison. Those who have major depressive disorder I do think a lot of depression in this day and age stems from, in fact, I'm sure the studies back this up, stems from a sense of comparison. I think we can always draw a line back from poor mental health, negative self-talk, and comparison. And if you can, in your life, I'd like you to take a moment now and just think about that yourself. Think about when you've had episodes of trouble, when you've had episodes of difficulty. Has some of the triggers, I'm not saying all of the triggers, I'm not an idiot. I know some of us are just chemically disposed to having, being more depressed than others. But I do definitely think that a lot of this comparison is often the driving force behind what can then send you into a funk, into a spiral, into a period of negative self-talk and a period of negative mental health. That's my opinion. If I'm wrong, if it's not that, then absolutely, all opinions are valid and everything is valuable. And I'm not disregarding your experience with poor mental health by saying that. I just wouldn't be surprised if we probably could associate it more than maybe we're willing to admit, or maybe we're willing to actually look for in our lives. So I think that's something we should just increase and be a lot more aware of. And I know full well when I get into funks, it's a comparison of myself previously. It's a comparison of me to other personal trainers. It's a comparison of me to other people my age. I don't own a house. I don't have children. I'm not married. There's lots of things in my life that can send me into a negative spiral of thought. So now let's look at the positive. I probably should have started with that, right? I probably should have started with, hang on, so self-talk positively affects performance behaviors thus, so that we kind of didn't get all a bit low and a bit serious to begin with. However, so positive self-talk, again, with this, I'd like to take us to the source of where self-talk really comes from. And it's my personal belief that positive self-talk comes from a number of places in life. I think it comes from being authentic to yourself. I think it comes from being authentic to your morality. And I think it comes from making sure that you exist and build a world around you that respects your morality and your authenticity. In many ways, the more authentic we are, the more open and honest we are, the more vulnerable we show ourselves to be, as in the less walls we build around ourselves to protect ourselves. And it sounds counterintuitive, right? And the more open we are, the more positive our self-talk will become. And it's very interesting. This happens for a number of reasons. One, because when you're authentic and when you're being true to your moral self, and when you make sure that people around you and you control the situations that are also in that state, you build self-esteem because you're not constantly compromising yourself. What you're doing each and every day is you're showing up for yourself. You're doing productive things that feel good for you. And then that's going to increase your confidence and your self-esteem. And that's going to allow you to feel better about every decision you make. Another key aspect of where positive self-talk comes from is showing up for yourself. So when you start building a world of moral and understanding, and when you start building a world built on your authenticity, a lot of your behaviors will then fall into place in terms of, and I'm just trying to think and get this right. A lot of your behaviors will fall into place in terms of your morals and that moral compass that you have. And it's amazing how the world then starts responding to you because of the energy you're putting out there. And then what happens is the world starts to give you energy rather than take away from you, because you're not putting yourself into a position of compromise. whenever we compromise on something that is core to our belief, and look, you know, like this is true of any belief. Like, it doesn't mean that, like, personally, I'm quite liberal minded, right? I'm probably at this point as a close out socialist. And now you could be a complete conservative. You could be, absolute economic conservative and a completely, low tax and complete, independence from the state and everything else. That's absolutely fine. Like, this is all irregardless of what principles society thinks are right. Okay. It's completely down to the principles that you think are right. So Mr. Conservative and I could sit in a room quite happily together and have a very in-depth and understanding conversation, because both of us would be very comfortable and very secure and very, assured, self-assured in our beliefs, because our worlds are built on those beliefs, and therefore we're not feeling compromised. We're not feeling challenged by what's around us. Now, if he started to try to recruit me onto conservatorship, if I tried to convert him into socialism, then we create conflict and we create drama because there's a conflict. And that's when I might walk out of that conversation feeling less confident, feeling a bit more worried, and my negative self-talk will spin into my self-talk will spin into the negative, because I'm now comparing myself to him, or he's forced me to compare myself to him and his ideas rather than just respecting my ideas. And this affects performance. Let's get to the second part of the question. This affects performance because when you start showing up for yourself consistently, naturally performance gets better. And when you start living a life based around your morals and your guidance and everything else, then obviously you then, like, performance almost comes along for the ride. You're showing up more consistently. You're behaving in a manner that is more effective for you because you're operating out of a place of conviction, of assurance, of self-esteem, of understanding. And that is a phenomenal thing to do. And your performance will respond because you'll just show up more often. And then when you feel confident about yourself and the world around you, and you feel like you've built a world that is confident and safe around you, i.e. when you go to run a marathon, you've trained and you've built the world around you in order to achieve that marathon, you feel confident on the start line, then your performance is naturally going to improve. Now, the second part of Amanda's question is, how do they affect the sustainability of positive behaviors? And I think I've kind of taken care of that a little bit, but let's just go into it. Basically, positive self-talk, let's look at it as a flowchart. Positive self-talk will always lead to positive behaviors, okay? Because you're in a feedback loop of action. And we know that we can stay, we go for action, then we track the results, then we get motivation. That's how it works. And you put yourself in the natural cycle of that loop. You know, nothing builds confidence more than showing up for yourself and doing what you said you was going to do. And it doesn't matter what it is you said you was going to do, but if you said you're going to do it, do it. Many people ask me, why am I so confident? It's because I show up. If I tell a client I'm going to review their workout video, I review their workout video. If I tell the world I'm going to do a 30-day meditation course, I produce the course. I used to live in great fear of being the only person who I would I used to offload a lot of my responsibility. So if, for instance, I had a teacher at school called Mr. Torn, he's passed away, bless him. He was in a negative self-talk episode. I'd do anything for Mr. Torn. I'd run through walls. I'd show up every day for him. I'd do everything. And I got myself into the understanding that if someone puts their faith in me, they could not put their faith in anyone better. But then what happens when you don't come across people who put their faith in you, but you want them to, you end up in a in a big problem, you end up kind of compromised. And so you get into a negative self-talk loop. I really adored Mr. Thorn, and he and many other teachers in my life, like James Kemp at drama school, Annie Tyson at drama school, lots of people in my life have put their faith in me, and it's meant an awful lot to me. All of my clients put their faith in me every single day, which is a bloody huge responsibility. But now I've learned that I can only let them put their faith in me because I put my faith in myself. I know I have the ability to show up. And if I didn't have the ability to show up, I wouldn't put myself in that position to begin with. And so because I'm understanding of that, I show up, I get things done, and that's how it works, basically. And that's how I sustain it, by making sure my world is built on my belief system. And anything that comes into my world that is counterintuitive to my belief system, I will keep at arm's reach. So another massive thing I've done in my life is putting quite big boundaries around things. The biggest one being my sister. I don't let my sister communicate with me, which might sound crazy to you, but every time we communicate, it ends up into chaos. Like, we end up having an argument. So I was like, okay, job done. I'll just not talk to you anymore. And in many ways, our relationship has never been better, probably because we're not constantly causing conflict with each other by trying to communicate. It just is what it is. And now when we do communicate, we both kind of understand the rule of, well, it's like a 30-second conversation, job done, get away. And that works probably a lot better for both of us. And it probably works a lot better for our family unit as well. And it also helps that I'm on the other side of the world. And whereas when you get into a negative loop, when you get into a loop of comparing yourself to others, you're never going to think you're good enough. And therefore, you're never, ever going to show up consistently enough for yourself. When you're in a negative mindset, it becomes very hard to sustain anything at all. It becomes very hard to sustain positive behaviors because basically you don't think you're worthy because you are comparing yourself to somebody else. And you should never do that. Never compare your chapter 2 to somebody else's chapter 15. And very few people have the ability to take action even when they are in a period of negative self-talk. And therefore, the sustainability of positive behavior, as Amanda asked, or let's just say being consistent, is so much harder because you've let yourself down once and then you think, oh, well, I'm rubbish, I'm useless, and you get into this all or nothing mindset. And whenever you're in an all or nothing mindset, nothing always wins. I'll say that again. When you're in an all or nothing mindset, nothing always wins because you can't give your all to anything all of the time. It's not possible. It's incongruent. You can't be perfect, but you can always be consistent. Right. I think that's probably a good note to finish on. I feel like I had another thought swimming around my head about something. But it's gone, and I've been up since 4:30 this morning, so that's probably why. Right, as I've mentioned, I'm going to put in the show notes access to my 30-day meditation course called The Daily Stillness. I've produced all of the meditations, I've recorded all the meditations, I've written all the meditations myself, so that means that they're both very personal, and also it means that they're probably a little bit flawed, but that's okay. Because that's my authentic self. And also, you know, I'm going to ask again on Saturday. I've got a reminder in my calendar to send the email out to my email list and to ask on my social media, what questions do you want answering on the podcast for next month? So I love answering questions. I don't care if I get one question or if I get 400 questions. I will get through them all. And that means an awful lot to me. So if you want to make sure that you get that email, if you've got a burning question to ask me and you really want to get my thoughts and feelings on it, then please make sure you head to www.thegymstarter.com and navigate towards your free fitness goodies and subscribe to my emails there. And that's about it from me. Let me know if you join the Daily Stillness. I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be a fantastic month for everyone who does it. And the work is really inspiring, which is another reason I'm doing it. I like to feel inspired. That's part of my moral compass. And yeah, I'm really proud and chuffed of it. And once it's completed, it's going to be a great piece of work that you have complete access to for free. Thanks for being here. Thank you for listening. And as always, it's been my pleasure to talk to you. Have a great day, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Ciao, ciao.